Eating is something that we struggle with throughout our lifetime. I can remember waiting for my parents to give us the okay, you can come down now, as my siblings and I were jumping at the top of the stairs on Christmas morning. And as I got older, I can remember having a crush on somebody and feeling like the weight of just like watching my phone, willing it to ring. And as I got older, I thought that I would grow in patience as I waited for stuff when I became an adult. But those 9 months of waiting on JB to make his arrival took years. When you're eager for something, waiting for it can physically hurt. And while this instant gratification generation that we live in and we're spoiled with, it does make the wait seem worse, but waiting has been around for centuries. It's nothing new. I've struggled a great deal with waiting, especially this week. When I first started here at Meadow Lake, I can remember delivering my first sermon, and I received such wonderful words of appreciation and just encouragement after I shared my sermon. And I remember Fred coming up to me and saying, "Man, I cannot wait to hear your next one." And I thought, oh, but I used up all my good material. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. And that's when I learned the really important lesson that when you stand and deliver a message, it's not about my words. It's not about my wisdom. To write a message that truly matters, that carries weight, it has to come from God. So this week I've been praying. Actually, I started praying for this sermon weeks ago. And I prayed, "Lord, what message do you need to get across to your people? You know the exact hearts that will fill those seats on July 30th. You know what's happening in their lives. You know what struggles they have. And what do you need them to hear?" And I sat there and got nothing. As someone who loves to get their work done ahead of time, the OCD side of me with the planning and the following schedules, I really began to get frustrated and panic a little bit because I had not gotten my sermon done by the time I wanted to. I would sit and quiet my mind. I went to coffee shops. I worked at home. I worked here, trying to listen to God speak to me. And Jesus just kept reminding me of my own problems when I would get quiet. And for a while, I thought that was just me. I could not turn my brain off long enough to hear him and his message. But what I came to understand was he was trying to highlight that some of the best teaching happens when you can look at somebody and say, from personal experience, I have been there. And after all, that is one of the main reasons that God made himself man. So that when we are going through the depths of hell, as we are struggling in agony, we can cry out to him, and he looks down and says, "I know. I have been there. I know what you're going through." And if you keep up with the Bible study devotions that I post to the Meadow Lake Facebook page, you probably know a little about my current frustration. I found myself, in a time of wait, frustrated with God that my prayers were taking so long to get answered. And I have to share a disclaimer that these prayers I'm referring to are not life or death situations, but they carry a lot of weight for me and my little family. So if you are struggling with guilt, maybe thinking that your prayers are, you know, not as big as the person at your work that you know is really struggling with some major stuff, maybe you feel like your prayers are not as important, as significant. Maybe God doesn't have time for you. I believe Jesus needed me to share that with you because so often we do think, well, there's disease, there's war, that's why he's not answering me. It's just not that important. But that is a false belief. So keeping that in the back of your mind, for months, years really, I've been praying over certain situations that have seemingly gone unanswered in my life. I began to wonder if maybe the way that I was praying was just wrong. So I changed what I was praying to, instead of saying, "Lord, I want this exact answer," I changed my prayers to, "God, if you would just place your desire for your will, place that desire on my heart. I want to want what you want me to have." But I still was getting nowhere. I still was hearing nothing, to the point that the silence that I found in response to my plea, it became deafening. I began to get angry with God and his perceived lack of care. I prayed, you know, I know this isn't a huge deal in the grand scheme of things, but God, your word says that you care for me, that I'm supposed to share my burdens with you. I've heard people tell me before, there is nothing too small or too big for you. So here I am, opening my heart to you, begging just for some sort of an answer, some way, and I'm getting nothing. I found myself one Friday morning really frustrated with my inability to feel or hear God, but remembering to practice what I preach, I turned to his word. And I'm going to be brutally honest with you, very vulnerable, and say that as I opened up his word, they didn't give me the magical peace that I thought it was going to give me. And in fact, reading my Bible infuriated me even more. I got honest with God. I prayed as I came across verses such as, the prayers of the righteous person are powerful and effective. I prayed and I wrote down in my prayer journal, well, you know what, God? I'm not a righteous person. I've never met a righteous person, so that must mean that our prayers are weak and ineffective. I found verse after verse after verse that only highlighted one thing: God's inability to answer my prayers, and the fact that he couldn't answer them was because of me. I was the reason that he couldn't answer my prayers. I wasn't righteous enough. I didn't have a strong enough faith. I had sin buried deep in my heart that I had not come to terms with yet. All of the verses that I read highlighted me as the problem. I was somehow preventing God from being able to answer my prayers. So one last attempt on that Friday morning, after a few hours of sitting there in agony, I prayed, Lord, I need a break from you. I'm going to come back to your verses. I'm going to come back to you, but I need some time away. I'm going to give myself the weekend. I know that you have greater truth. I know that you have greater insight. I know that you have what I'm seeking. But to be honest, being a teacher of your people, I'm struggling to share what I believe. Because right now I'm doubting your love, I'm doubting your goodness and your power. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you've pushed God away at some point in your life because your prayers have gone unanswered. Maybe you've pushed God away because there's just this nagging doubt that you just can't overcome. Maybe you've pushed God away because you couldn't bear to face him. You've made so many mistakes, you've hurt people, and it's just easier than to ask for forgiveness, just to distance yourself from him a little bit. Bury that shame, bury that guilt. You don't want him to make you face it all. Whatever it is, we've all struggled in our walk of faith, because it is a journey after all, filled with highs and lows. Now don't worry, I'm not going to start sharing some cliches about, you know, it's in those valleys that we grow and all of that, because while I do feel that way, I do know that's true, that you do grow in those valleys. As well-meaning as people are when they share those really sweet sayings with you, when you're in that valley, in that hard time, those sayings just make you so frustrated. I love those, you know, God has a plan, just hang in there, it's in the wait that he helps you grow. Those cute little posters and cliche Pinterest sayings, they don't work. And it's because what we're craving in that moment is not a Band-Aid to just slap over our wounds. Whether we know it or not, whether we identify it or not, what we are craving in those moments is Jesus. We're craving his peace that doesn't just cover up whatever's bothering us, but that gets down into the depth of what it is, that heals whatever is wrong in our hearts. We need him to open our eyes to him, open our eyes to him at work in our lives. So as funny as it is to say, I was on a break with God for the weekend. I gave myself some time to cool down. I had had my explosion on Friday morning. I had vented out all of my anger, my frustration, and I was just brutally honest with him. I was emotionally spent, exhausted, and just numb. So I gave myself that time before coming back to him in word and in prayer. But I came back. I went back to those exact verses that caused me such agony on Friday. But by Monday, I was ready to read them again. But this time, with help. to find clarity. Jesus opened my eyes and my heart to some really amazing truth, and it actually turned into a Bible study. I took those verses and I shared my original thoughts, my pain as I read those verses. But then I also shared God's truth, how he changed my heart. And I came to realize that the problem in my prayer life, the problem in hearing God, was not that Jesus didn't care. The problem was me. And by mean, I don't mean my lack of faith, my sin, and all of that. The problem being me was my attitude. My mood affected how I was reading. I was reading from a point of trying to prove that I was right, trying to prove that he didn't love me, and all out of anger. And as any good parent, he sat there and let me have my temper tantrum. He let me really work through my frustration because I needed to understand what it was that was really bothering me. I needed to voice it all out, just get it all out there. Because faith and understanding are a choice. I realized that the best pastor in the entire world could stand before you and utter the exact words, the most profound, beautiful words that you desire to hear. But if your heart is not open to hearing them, you won't really receive them. And that is precisely the reason that the best pastor and teacher in history spoke in parables. Matthew 13, 10 through 13 says, "The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak in parables to these people?' He replied, 'Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand.'" We face a choice in how we even read those words this morning. At first glance, if I was reading this on that Friday morning, I would have highlighted, "You see? This is the perfect person. If I want to be able to get it, I have to be the perfect person that belongs to your family." And you just keep getting more and more and more. But then little old me, who doesn't have very much, you're going to take that from me too? Now that is not a loving God. But the truth that is actually there is way different. Jesus chose to teach in parables because those who wanted to respond, those who actually desired to try, to take the time to actually understand what he was teaching, they would understand, and they would continue to understand deeper and deeper and get more out of his words. But those who chose to merely just listen to the story, "Oh, that sounds nice, okay," it didn't get into their hearts. They didn't understand. And the little bit that they did understand would soon disappear, because it's about the status of your heart. Reading this, the Holy Spirit really guided me that it highlights, and I could just hear Jesus saying, "Look, it really doesn't matter what I say." And this time, those Pharisees were going to listen to my story, they were going to twist my words, and they were going to hear out of it what they wanted to anyway to prove their points. But the people who know God, the people who trust God, that want to know the truth, they kept their hearts open. They began to understand more because they were listening with open hearts. So please keep your heart open as I try to teach you. And the more connected that we stay to his word, the more it becomes alive in our hearts, the more we understand, the more it is able to transform our lives. So often preachers and teachers, they tell their people, "Get into the word every day." And yes, I beat that drum almost every time I am up in the pulpit. And it's because I know that this verse is so true. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. When I got out of my own way and allowed the Holy Spirit to guide my heart through these passages that made me so angry, I saw them completely differently. but I had to check the status of my heart first. No matter what I read during that moment of despair, I was going to find a hole in his words. I was going to find a problem. I was going to find a way to prove that God did not love me. I wasn't open. I wasn't reading his words. Instead of opening my heart, I was reading the words, and instead of opening my heart to see the words, I didn't let the words speak to me. As believers, we all have a choice, and it begins by examining yourself. What's the status of your heart right now? Is it open to God? Or are you too busy trying to fix problems, focus on where you've been hurt and trampled over, that you can't hear God speaking loud and clear to you? The thing that was holding me back most recently in my prayer life, I had to deal with some anger at God, anger with myself, some frustrations about the current situations that I find myself in. To be brutally honest with you, I'm still discovering a lot. But the first step was examining my heart, taking a minute to just be brutally honest before God. And I'd like to say that after this revelation that I got all my prayers magically answered, my wildest dreams came true, and there was a Porsche sitting in the driveway. But the truth is, I still don't have those answers that I'm seeking. It's not quite that easy. But what I did find was Jesus. I found his peace. My faith was renewed. My heart has started to heal. My mind is a little more clear. I'm less anxious, less worried about these situations. And slowly, I'm really learning to trust him. Proverbs 3:5-6 is a simple and famous verse. But my prayer for you today is that it carries more meaning than simply reading it on the surface. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. As a teenager in Thomas Yarborough's youth group, I remember hearing this verse. I remember the call of the youth pastor to invite Jesus into your heart, change your life. And I thought that that meant I needed to change my group of friends, I needed to be in a small group every single night, only listen to Christian music for the rest of my life. I needed to have the perfect Christian girl exterior to feel it on the interior. And I was very wrong. This verse tells us to trust and then submit. It didn't say take over the reins and try to do all this changing all by yourself. If you find yourself in a very difficult situation, in a lukewarm relationship with Jesus, honestly, just angry at the world, angry at God, examine this verse a little more closely. Trusting God with your whole heart means opening it up fully, giving him access to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Have your tantrum with God like I did. Get messy and allow it to all come out. Then, not by your own power, but by invitation, allow Jesus to enter your heart and transform it. That is when he can begin to work a masterpiece out of your heart and out of your life. I found this video of inspiration that really reminds us of the amazing work that God can do in each of us, but he has to be invited first.
Mm-hmm.
Your life and your circumstances will not change overnight. You won't get those prayers answered magically like you want to. But my prayer for you is that you begin the process of opening your heart, little by little, allowing the God of the universe, your Father and your greatest love, to just enter your heart, slowly start chipping away at those rough edges, making your heart into the masterpiece that it was created to be, so that you can feel that peace when you need it. You can feel that guidance when you need it, and then shine His light to the world. Amen.